Boy, that is a precious truth, isn't it?
Amen.
One of my favorites, Alicia. Appreciate it. And my, how that speaks to your heart. Nothing I can claim but the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Got a prayer note here from Dolores Angel Nunez. It's 25 years or more. He's person turned this in. Ain't Brother Angel, we know him. He's very ill. All the doctors, nurses, and caregivers are very negative about his condition. And we've been praying for him for a long time. And this is a little update here. So let's keep him on our prayer list. Open your Bibles to the Old Testament this morning, to the book of Hosea. Book of Hosea, chapter 7. One of the shorter prophetical books, not real short, but of course has much of what God has to say to Israel in view. And I'm going to ask you to go to chapter 7. We're going to read down maybe about 8 or 9 verses. I was looking through one of my old Bibles. Now, I've been preaching a long time. I've got several of them that if you just pick them up, they kind of snow. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The paper just kind of rotten and been well used through the years. But I was thumbing through one of them, and I saw where I years ago preached in on this text out of Hosea, and it just kind of got a hold of my heart again. And it's amazing how the Bible's never out of date. It's always ahead of time. Amen. And my subject this morning is don't be unaware of the gray. Now, the first time I preached this, I didn't have gray hair. So whatever I say about gray hair this morning, I'm one of you, so nobody get offended. Amen. One fellow said he didn't mind it turning gray as much as he did turning loose. But anyway, I'm with you right there, amen. Look at it here, and we'll put it in context as the Lord speaks to the nation of Israel, and more specifically to Ephraim. Ephraim here pretty much represents 10 tribes, and God is condemning them here. He's telling them about their sin, and you'll notice that as we read in the text, he associates gray hair with death. Now, I know some folks get prematurely gray. I've got a preacher friend. He's a little older than me. He come out of the Korean War prematurely gray. And Brother Cone, you know who I'm talking about, Brother Blair. And in fact, I saw him on TV not long ago when they were doing a documentary on that terrible battle they had in the frozen, they called them the frozen chosen, because it was a chosen valley in North Korea. And below zero, and what an awful time the Marines had there, but a terrible time and death and so forth. And he was one of the men they were interviewing on TV. He surrendered to preach over the bloody body of his buddy as he shot his rifle across his. He told God, "If you get me home, I'm gonna preach," and that's what he did. Anyway, he had premature gray hair. I mean, just totally. Gray. I don't know what Brother Cruz's excuse is, but only his wife would know whether it comes out of a bottle or not. All right. We can joke a lot about gray. I did hear about the college girl. She was doing pretty good in college, but she'd given some troubles as a teenager. But in college, she'd kind of settled down, was doing pretty good, and one day in front of the mirror, she saw she had a gray hair. I still remember when my wife hollered about one. That was 100 years ago, but anyway. She pulled that gray hair out, and she wrote a note home to Mom and Dad, and she stuck the gray hair in there, taped it in, and said, "Dad, I want you to know I just had my first gray hair." He sent her back a note. He said, "I want you to know that's not the first gray hair you gave your mom and I." A little truth to that, I'm sure. But anyway, it's in the text here. Let's start reading in verse 1, chapter 7, book of Hosea. "When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood. And the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with their lies. They're all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker, who ceaseth from raising after he have kneaded the dough until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretcheth out his hand with scorners, for they have made ready their heart like an oven, whilst they lie in wait. Their baker sleepeth all the night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They're all hot as an oven and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There's none among them that calleth unto me. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake, not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. I want you to get that, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. Now, God is using the fact here that this nation is dying. Ephraim is dying. Ephraim's in trouble with God. And that's the majority of Israel, as he names Ephraim and Samaria. And he's telling them, he's naming their sins. He's making some comparisons. He's teaching them here about it. But the truth is, he's saying, you don't even know it. What's happening to you? Gray hairs are here. And, you know, let's face it, folks. Except for premature gray hair is telling us we don't have as many days as we used to have. Can we be honest with that? I know you can color it, but it don't change the birthdays, brother. The truth of the matter is, you can prop up on pills and color your hair and go to the gym, and I think all those things are good. Prolong it all you want to, but you hear me say it, it's like rearranging the furniture on the deck of the Titanic. It's going down. No matter what you do, it's going to sink, amen? And that's what the Bible says. It's the point of the men wants to die in after this, the judgment. But verse 9 here, the saddest part of this thing is it's talking about they don't know it. The day is coming unaware. They're out of fellowship with God. They're under the judgment of God, and yet they don't seem to be aware of it. Now, I want to say, if you came through this portion of Scripture, and you took out Ephraim, and you took out Israel, and you wrote America in it, it would fit all the way down. I mean, it would fit hand and glove. I look around today, and I see this is so true in our country today. They say, and history reports this, that all nations go through four stages. And you check the Roman Empire and others, you'll find it true. All nations go through four stages. First one is pioneer and discovery. Well, boy, didn't America go through that. And following that, expansion and increase. And no nation's had the high standard of living that we've produced, and the blessings of God has been upon America in our history. But the third stage is decay and decline. This is all nations. And finally, the fourth stage is the enemies come in and take over. That'll fit Rome. That'll fit Greece before Rome. It'll fit all the kingdoms, and it's fitting America to a T today. America, I heard a politician this week say the wheels have come off. Now, we know what that analogy is, don't we? I mean, all of a sudden, the little toy car, the bicycle loses its wheels, or the race car loses its wheels. It's a crash coming. There's a wreck coming. There's a bad time coming. That's what he was saying. And I agree that the wheels have come off. And they've come off, I believe, from the inside, not from the outside. Look at the inside of our nation today, and look at the immorality. I cannot believe right here in our county and everywhere else how they keep arresting these suckers for kiddie porn and all that business. And you think, well, the first time you read some of this stuff and knew it was happening, it was a shocker. Now it's almost every daily newspaper. It's a report all the time of this stuff going on. You look around today and see the homosexual agenda. That is an inside job that is killing us today. Not only is it evil according to the Word of God, condemned in the Old Testament, condemned in the New Testament, spelled out. No way you. I know they pervert Bibles, but they have a hard time writing it out. And God's condemnation on it. But from the inside of America now, We're getting the pressure on politicians, on companies, on businesses, on ball teams and everything else to march in line with the homosexual crowd. And today you are considered a bigot. You're considered to be wrong and have no compassion if you speak against that stuff. But God speaks against it. If you're going to stick with the old book, it hadn't changed, brother. Romans chapter 1 is still there, where God said when they begin to treat women like men and men with men and women with women, God said he gave them over to a reprobate mind. Are we operating under a reprobate mind today? Oh, my soul, I've never seen the beat. Our country in that position. We've got the gray of death on us, and yet we seem to be unaware. Unaware of it. It's in high places. You read through the passage here, and you read where he's talking about the kings and the judges and the princes, all of them being corrupt, all of them falling, all of them into this sin that he's condemning for. And it's in high places. My soul, you look around today in our courts, and I've never in my life seen so many perverted judging. Judgments coming forth from perverted judges is what it amounts to. It is amazing. You can have the voters out here to vote down gay marriage, and then the judge overrules it. It's a really, really something. But you know, total government control is right on us. Political correctness has gone crazy in our country. Now, I'm going to say this, and not only do I have gray hair, but I have a little bit of Indian blood in me. So if you're Indian today, don't get offended. At least don't tomahawk me, all right? Now, I'm not kidding you, I do. But anyway, changing the name of the Redskins because it offends somebody. Well, what are we going to do with the Indian motorcycle? My brother had one of those old ones, and I don't know, they might still make them. How about the Atlanta Braves or the Cleveland Indians? What are we going to do about all this stuff? The truth of the matter is that's just political correctness, foolishness gone astray. That's all it is. But when the government can get into it and you've lost your freedom of speech, intrusion by the government tells you what you can do and what you can't. Listen, the First Amendment, the freedom of speech, is just gone down the river in this country. You can get arrested for saying the wrong word, even if it's not in the context of being wrong, they'll make it wrong. And that's what's happening in our nation today. Because of God's blessing in our early years, we have a constitution. We had the First and Second Amendments and all of it that gave us our freedom. By the way, I do think the Reds name Washington Redskins, I think the Indians ought to be offended at the word Washington. Not the word Redskin, amen. Now, I'm playing around with it a little bit, but that's the insult. If there's an insult in it, that's it. Amen. See where the authorities took the girl and kept her for over a year and a half from their parents? Now, I've had some personal experience with that. There is a monster out there that is able to do that. And it amazes me how they can. And thank God she got back home, I think, this week. But boy, she's got scars from it that'll last her the rest of her life. And the truth of the matter is parental rights and property rights and all those freedoms that we counted dear, government's just gobbling them up everywhere you look. Coming into the one world government, into the brainwashing. And by the way, people, you and I have been brainwashed and we don't know it. We watched enough TV till we brainwashed quite a bit. Say, what are you talking about? Well, little by little, they're setting us against what old America was. They're teaching us how to think about things, and we're being deceived. I am, you are, to some degree. Let me give you a little test here right quick. Let me ask you, and don't say nothing. Might catch you. Just listen to me here a minute. What do you think about American cars? I'm going to move on. How about fast food? How about America being the great polluter? How about our drinking water? Is it dirty? By the way, now I got to park there just a minute. What is gasoline now? It's approaching $4 a gallon, but you're paying more than that for that water you buy in those little bottles. Figure out what a gallon of that costs you. You don't know whether it's any different than any of the rest of the water you get out of the hose or not. Who are you trusting? Who's brainwashed you? There's a bunch of foolishness going on in this country. All of us are, well, the water's dirty, is it? Go see where they got it from. Danger of going overtime, I'm going to say something. I was traveling back from, I think, somewhere up in Georgia, Atlanta, I guess. I was by myself. And when I'm by myself, I do something, be anathema if my wife was with me. And that is, I don't stop at a restaurant and eat. When I gas up, I get a Coke and a pack of crackers, health food, and keep going. I make time. So I stopped somewhere around the Georgia line. I did that. I gassed up. I ran to the store to get a Coke and a pack of crackers. And I was hunting for the crackers. I don't know why they hide them like they do. But I went around the back, and there sat a man on a little stool. He had a whole pile of these little plastic bottles, water bottles. And he was filling them up out of the spigot. And I looked at him, and he looked at me. And I just smiled, and he did too. Now, I want to tell you what. I didn't buy none of his water. I didn't go in after it. I still remember sticking my mouth under a spigot when I was a kid and being glad it was a spigot there. Amen? But I'm talking about how we've been brainwashed. All of a sudden, we got to buy special water. All of a sudden, fast food's no... Hey, listen, if it's a potato at McDonald's, it's a potato at your house. Where in the world you get all this junk? I know some of you out there, you're kind of getting uneasy because you're into this. It's okay. You're still going down with the Titanic, with the rest of us. Care about how many health food pills you take. Okay, I'm all right for taking care of yourself, but how much have you been brainwashed into? I like ketchup. I believe the ketchup I get at McDonald's is probably about the same stuff I get at the house. Don't you think so? Well, we've been brainwashed. Where did we get this idea America's the only one that pollutes? China is the one doing more pollution than us, and yet we're sending our jobs and borrowed their money. Something stupid about this thing. Can't have our own oil pipeline. Can't have our own drill for our own oil. We've been so brainwashed that all of a sudden, just to speak up and defend America makes you almost feel guilty. You're almost defensive. Well, I'm against what's going on by the bad crowd that's leading America. Let me drop something on you. The word liberal used to not be a bad word, but it is to me now. And I got Bible on it. Go home, and I'm not going to turn to it now, but check me out. Go home after lunch, look up Isaiah chapter 32, and read over there where in the millennial reign, when Christ comes back, it says the vile will no longer be called liberal. Truth. The wicked and the vile, that's what God calls them now. He says they're misnamed. They'll no longer be called liberal. Help yourself. Check me out. Don't say that preacher down there, he's political, he's this. Hey, look, I'm a Bible believer. And when you get into the book, you just disturb and destroy a whole lot of false ideas is what you do. And the truth of the matter is we got gray hair on us and we don't know it. We're dying and we don't know it. We're unaware, as it were. We've gotten into a place to where, I could have said a while ago, how many of you been brainwashed about being a Walmartian? What'd I say? A Walmartian? Yeah, Walmartian. How many of you know what that represents? I see one hand, two hand, three. Do you shop at Walmart? Do you know there's propaganda out there right now to destroy probably one of the best free enterprise things that's happened in America in a long, long time. Do you know they try to brainwash you that it's a lower class that goes there? Oh, I'm looking at a lot of lower class out there today. And I are one. But at the same time, that's the brainwashing that's going on. Look out for it. All kind of stupid stuff going on. It keeps us from praising them because they can sell us something, same brand name, a little cheaper than somebody else. I bought my grandson, I shouldn't make this confession, I may get arrested. Before my grandson left, I bought him a shotgun. Do you know that the Supreme Court just ruled 5-4 that that's a crime? I'm a legal gun owner, but I bought one for somebody else. That was just 2 weeks. I mean, I'd hardly bought it. He'd only been gone a week, and I just didn't get all the wire before the Supreme Court made a criminal out of me. Truth. But anyway, I started to say, I went to Walmart and bought some ammunition. Then I went to another big store and bought some more. They wanted to charge me double for what Walmart was going to charge. So I'm just going to keep on being a Walmartian. I'm going to keep on not letting them brainwash me on it, brother. And I'm just using that. Just one example of it. I'm just talking about our country has got gray hair and seem to be unaware of it. We're at the point of death. The wheels are coming off. Everything is destructing. It's crazy. Our rights are going down the tubes, and yet we seem to be unaware. Don't get too excited. I saw him interviewing Hillary the other night. She's selling another book. Poor thing, she don't have no money. She said her and Bill were so broke when they went in the White House. Anyway, I'll get off of that. But they were interviewing her, and they had a little town hall meeting going there with the crowd around. And so finally they got around to asking her about gay marriage because, see, in the early years she said she was against it. But she said, oh, I've evolved, like somebody else said he evolved. I've evolved, and now I think you ought to be able to marry anybody you want to if you love them. And that whole crowd gave her a big hand. I wanted to go, amen. Hey, listen, the crowd's down. I'm enjoying myself. You might as well get on the wagon with me. It's going to be miserable for another 15 minutes if you don't. The truth of the matter is the gray hair is showing up, the signs of death. It's true not only, and I've got to move to this. I hate to have to move to it, but I got to move to it, not only in our nation, but in our churches. Laodicean church age, Revelation chapter 3, neither hot nor cold, lukewarm, God spews them out of the mouth. Laodicean church age, liberalism moved into the churches. I saw this week, maybe you did too in the news, one of the biggest, oldest denominational churches in America said the gays could now use their buildings to be married in. They could be married in. Well, I want to send out a little announcement, not this building. Not this preacher. No way. I still believe in the old book. I still believe it's an abomination in God to God Almighty. I believe a homosexual can be saved, his sins can be forgiven, all the blood, and he can start over. But I don't have to condone that stuff. Our church has grown lukewarm. Gay marriage is just one thing of it. Worldliness. We've come to the place today in our churches that if they test the world, and if the world likes it, they want to do it. I call that lizard religion. How many of you know what I mean? I know there's another name for it, but I always call them lizards. Chameleons. You ever notice one crawl on a green bush and turn green? You ever notice him climb on a brown wall and turn brown? He just fits wherever and whatever his environment is. That's what churches are doing now. Oh, our community's for gay marriage, we'll be for it. Whatever. And they move and change the old book. They got to change it or deny it or ignore it.
So they change the word of God. They change the music from the church music to the honky-tonk. They do all of that business. It's just amazing today, the gray hair that's on the churches. And then they wonder why they're dying. They're dying because God's not there any longer. It's sad, but it's the truth. Deny the Bible, deny the gospel, and lose sight of the cause. Do you know this church is here? And if you're here and unsaved today, I want to say something to you. This church is here to keep you out of hell. To tell you how to get to heaven and to keep you out of hell. You say, well, I drove by Landmark. They got all those buildings and they got all that money. I wish you knew the truth. But the truth is, we're here for one reason, to keep you from going to hell. I mean, that's basic, but that's truth. That's truth. We want to tell you about the one that loved you and died for your sins and can give you, through his grace, a free ticket to heaven. That's what we want to do. And that's the reason we exist. That's the reason the pews are padded and the air conditioning's on. Because we want somebody to come in, and we'll attract you if we can to get you to hear the truth. And the investment that we have is because your soul is so precious. And we don't want you to die lost. That's what it's about. We send the missionaries. We raise the money. You see the gauge over here. We're raising the money. We're getting the gospel around the world. And thank God, more souls are being saved across the ocean than they are in America now. And I believe that's probably only one reason, maybe the big reason, that God is still tolerating our country with all the sin that we've moved into. We're still getting the gospel around the world. But you know, you got a crowd denying that gospel today. They've lost sight of the real reason. Churches exist because Jesus started them. He didn't start the stock market. And he told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's the church is also for the fellowship of the Christian to stay strong. But the whole purpose behind it all is that we'll reproduce, that we'll reach others, that we'll tell somebody else about the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I look around today and I see a coldness in our churches, just like God predicted. Revelation chapter 3, 7 church letters over there. The last one typifies the last of the church age, the cold age. Age filled with apathy. And I want to say to you, even as Americans, we get the feeling like sometime what we do don't count. The government's going its own way. We can't turn it around. It's more evil all the time. So what are we supposed to do? Let me tell you what we're supposed to do. Keep on keeping on. Amen. Keeping on the main cause, on the main road. Keep on reaching souls. Keep on living the Christian life to be a testimony to those that are watching us. Keep on doing what was right to do 100 years ago. And it's still right today. Let me tell you, Rome was corrupt, but the Christians multiplied under that government. And we're corrupt today in high places, but we can still reach others till the trumpet sounds. Amen. Let's not lose sight of that. Let me hear you say, as Christians, we need to be aware if we're personally turning gray. You say, preacher, you're talking about my hair? No, I'm talking about your spiritual condition. I'm talking about, are you colder than you used to be on the things of God? Have you let apathy set in? Have you become lukewarm? Do you do what you could do if you had the spirit to do it? That gets home to all of us, don't it? Are we unaware that maybe we're backsliding and don't know it? Then that's being unaware of the gray that's showing up, that Christian life is dying, not what it ought to be. Are we to the place that we've got the gray of unthankfulness on us? Listen, if there's ever been a generation of people that ought to be thankful to God, it's us. I mean, it's amazing what we have today. And you see all the poverty. I'm against them crossing the border illegally, but I can understand the conditions they're running from. And I also understand the political foolishness of promising that if they get over here, it's heaven. It's not. It's a crazy thing going on down there. But I'm saying to you, America's had to build walls to keep folks out. We're blessed. Other nations have to build walls to keep people in. There's a big difference. Amen. We're blessed, folks. Let's not be guilty of being unthankful. Amen. For what God has done for us. then let's not have the gray hair of covetousness. We've got into a game in America where we think that we got to grab for all the gusto we can get. Ain't that what the Bear commercial says? Grab for everything. I saw a bumper sticker, and of course it was facetious, but it is a truth there. Bumper sticker said, "He that dies with the most toys wins." Do you think that's true? You leave the toys behind. The boats, the cars, the houses, the bonds, you name it. You leave it behind. You don't win just because you got the most stuff. And we've got the place in America that this whole thing of covetousness, I want more stuff than anybody else. And then we've got the gray of unfaithfulness on us. I heard a lady say one time, it's been quite a while, she said, "My church is dying." I wanted to say, what are you doing? Are you dying too? You see, the church is just me and you. We that are saved, as we join together, however many there are of us, it'll still depend on our condition. What's my spiritual temperature? What is yours? What can we do that we are not doing? I'm not talking about somebody just struggling every day and with health. I'm talking about what can you do? You can always pray too. That's one thing for sure. But folks, let's not let the gray hair slip on us without us noticing it, becoming unaware of the condition that we're in. You know, it's sad, but too many of us are like that. And I'd say to you, if you're not saved, just remember this. You're closer to facing your Creator every day you live. We Christians believe that we're right on the edge of the Lord coming back for the saved. We might be wrong. It might be another 5 or 10 or 20 years. I don't see how. I personally don't see how with what I know of this Bible, but it could be. And if that be the case, you're still one close day closer than you were yesterday to facing God. Or to have the saved caught out and you be left behind. I can't think of anything any more horrible than that. Just amazing that somehow people think, well, I'll get right tomorrow. How many tomorrows ago has that been? How many years have those tomorrows turned into? And you're still not right. You still haven't received Christ. You've heard about it over and over again. But I say to you, you've got the gray hair of foolishness on you if you think you've got plenty of time. Because you don't have. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. There's a story in Luke chapter 12. I won't turn to it, but it's the story of a farmer, a rich farmer, that made well. He had a little conversation when he went to bed that night with himself. Things was good. The weather had been good. The crops had been good. You read it over in Luke 12, and his conversation goes something like this. He said, "Soul, talk to his soul. Talk to his inside. We all talk to our inside." He said, "Soul, eat and drink and take your ease." He said, "Our crops have come forth bountifully." He said, "I got so much I don't know what to do. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down the old barns and build bigger barns." That's what he said. And he goes to bed. Things are good. But then the scripture goes on and says God was listening to what he had to say. And God got in the conversation. And God said there in Luke chapter 12, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. And then whose shall these things be?" You're going to leave your toys. You're going to leave your barn fools. You're going to leave it behind. How about it? Or the kids can fight over it, but where will your soul be? Where will your soul be? You've got the gray hair of death on you, whether you know it or not. Are you unaware of it? Oh, I get up here and read the prayer list, and I have funerals, and sometimes we're shocked by how young a person is. It's not necessarily just the years. Don't know what another day will bring forth. I asked you this morning, are you unaware or are you aware? Oh, just don't go home and look in the mirror at the hair. Go home and look at your soul. and say, am I ready if Jesus comes? Am I ready if I die? Have I received?